which is connected to the demons who came to Braj in attempt to kill Krishna. And somehow I have a weak point in Krishna consciousness. I'm very attracted to the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, and therefore I decided to do a seminar on that. And I had prepared the two demons of Pralambasura and Denukasura that were actually demons killed by Lord Balaram, and I thought for this second part I would like to tell you about one of them. I don't know, are you more eager for Pralambasura or more eager for Denukasura? Yeah, that's the right eagerness. So I feel more comfortable with the Denukasura pastime, because I told him more, I told that Lila more often, and there's also more deeper tattva point in it. Before I start, I like to mention that this seminar is actually a quite deep research in all different books and that we have. There is Gopal Champu, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna book, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commentary, Kavikarnapur, Ananda Vrindavan Champu. I mean, there are really a lot of different books, and then I go also through lectures of our different gurus on this special lila, and I try somehow to combine and to make a condensed exciting summary of the pastime. Radhanath Swami also mentioned that very often we tend to think, oh, I already know this lila, or I have heard already, and sometimes the mind tend to switch off because I have heard already. And Radhanath Maharaj said that those topics of Lord Krishna are actually ever fresh. And if we think, oh, I have heard it already, I don't feel like hearing it again, this means that actually we never heard it at all. Because if we really hear it, it will touch our heart. And if really touch our heart, then we will just feel, I want to hear it again. So if we feel bored, or we feel, oh, I have heard it again, that means actually we never heard it at all. So Garga Samhita inform us about all those demons who come to Vrindavan. They had a previous life. And Denukasura, his name was Sahasik in his previous life. And he was already a demon at that time. And he had a good fight with the demigods. They had, like, often demons and demigods are fighting between each other. So they had a good fight, and after the fight, Sahasik went to the mountains to relax a little bit, to take a break from the fighting activities. So he was in the mountains with his army, and there he met with Tilotama, a very, very beautiful apsara. Very, very beautiful apsara. And like it is the custom, they fell in love with each other, and Sahasik started. There is in Garga Samhita there is a deep description of Sahasik making proposal to her, and her saying no, I don't want anything, and going away, and Sahasik, and I mean really like the love story. You it's interesting because you read shastras and you see how actually you also find those love stories in the shastras. Finally, both of them ended in a cave, and they thought they would be alone for their loving exchanges. But in that cave was another person, and this person is a touchy person. This person was Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni is really easily giving curse. And Durvasa Muni was doing austerities, and because of his austerities, he had attracted a lot of ants to come over his body. And because he was doing tapasya, he did not move. And the ants maybe were attracted by the good vibrations, and they just covered his entire body. So when Tilotama and Sahasi came into the cave, they just saw an ant hill But they did not know that Durvasa Muni was under this hill. So they just started to have good discussion and loving intercourse, and suddenly Durvasa Muni heard the anchor bells jingling of Tilottama, and he thought, what is going on here? And then with one arm he moved, and he just moved the hands that were on his one of his eye and just opened and saw that they were actually engaged in loving affairs. So he became very angry. How can you dare do that before a sadhu, in front of a sadhu? You are acting like asses who does those type of things in the middle of the street without even being disturbed. So I curse you, you become an ass. You are acting like an ass, I curse you, you become an ass. And Sarasik became very humble and fell at the feet of the sadhu, took a blade of grass and said, you are my master. And a master must forgive the mistake of the servant. Please forgive my offenses. Please take away this curse you just gave to me. And Durvasa Muni said, I'm really sorry, but I cannot take away. Once a curse is given, it has to take form. But because you now become humble, I give you the blessing that you will be liberated by the hands of Lord Balaram. So that was the counteracting boon to the curse he had given. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that to all those demons that came to Vrindavan, they represent some type of anarthas, some types of obstacles that are in our hearts and that are impediment for us to come to Krishna. So Denukasura represent complete ignorance. That's like the mode of ignorance. And this basically means the ignorance that we are souls. And the ignorance that we are the body. We think we are the body and the mind. And we are ignorant that we are actually the soul. This is ignorance of our eternal identity. And this ignorance of Denukasura gives foolish conceptions of the holy name and Krishna. The asses are very famous for their ignorance, like working very hard but to get just a little grass. Or sometimes we hear about the story of putting a carrot in front of the ass and he just look at the carrot and just walk toward the carrot without ever being able to reach it. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said that Balaram killed two demons in Braj, Denukasura and Pralambasura. And Pralambasura represents the mode of passion. And basically, due to the mode of passion and ignorance, all other anarthas are developing, are evolving. So those two demons, or those two anarthas, are very special. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that we should make a very special endeavor to get rid of those two anatta, of the mode of passion and mode of ignorance. And it's very, very interesting that His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj gave also a very interesting point in one Gopunim lecture. He said that as long as we think that it is all right to have those anattas in our heart, we will never get rid of them. We need to come to the point of feeling it's bad that I have those anatta. I need to get rid of them. As long as we think everything is alright, I am who I am, and I have my faults and mistakes. This is me, and that's me. But we don't really pray for the removal of those anatta, then they will never go away. There is the necessity for us to pray for the removal of those anatta. And this is where our special endeavor has to come. Because we know all those demons are killed by Krishna and Balaram. It's not really us who can destroy those anattas. But what we can do, the way we should endeavor very much, is in our way to ask for removal, our prayer, the intensity of our prayer, so that those anattas will be removed by Krishna and Balaram. So this lila start happened when Krishna was 6 years old. And at that time, Krishna started to change. He was actually now entering the Poganda stage of his life, another stage of his life. And at that time, Krishna became a little more grave. Before, he was very turbulent and very naughty, but at that time, he became a little grave. Like the student of the Vedas becomes sober and serious, Krishna turned thoughtful and grave in his movement. The waist of Krishna reduced to slender proportions, and his eyes shone with a glimmer of excitement. Krishna cast anxious glance in all directions. Like when a flower opens, the flower will show the beauty of the flower when it's open. It will give the beautiful scent of the pollen. In the same way, when Krishna come in this age of Poganda, he revealed the softness of his body and personality. He shows his beauty, and fragrance and sweetness are coming from him when he comes to this age. Krishna is now a youthful hero, expert in joking, devoid of anxiety, and controlled by the prema of his devotees. So when Krishna reached that age, Krishna started to get a strong desire to go out with the cows in the forest of Vrindavan. But Nanda Maharaj was a little bit hesitant, because 6 years old is still quite small. Yesterday we saw Vasu, who was playing harmonium. He's 12 years old. So six is half of this. He's quite young. And it's not that Nanda Maharaj had two or three cows. He had 900,000 cows for this small boy, 6 years old. So Nanda Maharaj was a little bit hesitant to let Krishna go with the cows. But what happened? The cows started to make boycott. The cows did not want to go out anymore as long as Krishna was not allowed to go out with them. Now the acharyas raise a question. How could the cows be making boycott? Because they did not know how it will feel to be with Krishna out of the forest. Why now they did not want to go out and they just wanted to go with Krishna? And I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that Krishna was usually going out with the calf. And the calves will become so much full of love and so much excited of being with Krishna that when the cows will come to the cows in the evening, they will get the feeling of how it will be with Krishna through their calves. And because of that, they thought, now we don't go out without Krishna. We want to experience it directly, not anymore through our calves. We want to experience it through Krishna directly. And this is a very beautiful point, that actually, in order to feel Krishna, our first contact will be through others, will be actually through the devotees, through those who are closer to Krishna, with those who can experience Krishna. When we will be in contact with them, we will be able to get a glimpse of Krishna. And then we will develop this desire one day to say, no, now I don't do anything else. Now I really, really want Krishna. Krishna is really the only meaning, the only hope, the only reason of my own entire existence. So Krishna was allowed to go out with the cows, and all the boys, thousands of boys, of friends of Krishna, they will go in the morning after breakfast, and they will run into the forest. And there was not only a run, but it was like dancing running. Every step was like a dance. All the boys will enter the forest in dancing steps. And all the cows were mooing, and many will play flutes, and many will chant and sing, and so many sounds and so many beautiful colors of all those boys entering the forest of Vrindavan with the cows. And one name of Krishna is Madhava. And Madhava also means spring. So when Krishna will enter the forest, all the forest will be transformed like in spring. All the flowers will open. The trees will give fruits just for Krishna and Balaram. And even the flowers that were out of season, they will not mind. They will also give fruits and flower for Krishna. And at that time, Krishna and Balaram were walking in the forest, and the trees started to bend down to offer fruits. And Krishna started to give all the credit to Balaram, because Krishna knew Balaram will be the hero of these pastimes we are now. So Krishna started to praise Balaram. And Krishna said, Balaram, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Look, all the trees are bringing flowers and fruit to you. And Krishna is kindly and very nicely praising Balaram. And Radhanath Swami gave a very, very nice analogy of those fruits, of those trees bowing down to offer fruits. And he said, this is the same with spiritual people. When spiritual people become mature and advanced, they have a lot of fruits, and they want to give those fruits to every living entities. And how do they offer those fruits? They are bowing down in humility to give their fruits. But those who do not have fruits, those trees who do not have fruits, they stand very erect. And in the same way, those who do not have those fruits of maturity in devotional life, they are very often are proud. They stay erect and proud. But those who have those fruits of spiritual realization, they become very humble and they bow down to offer their fruits. Very, very beautiful analogy. Krishna was glorifying Balaram with a little smile. Yeah, he was thinking, you will soon be a hero. You will soon be the hero of the pastime. Krishna said to Balaram, holding on their heads gifts of fruits and flower, the trees are bowing down to your lotus feet with devotion. Why? The trees are bowing down to purify themselves of offenses which had caused them to take birth as a tree. All animals started to welcome Krishna and Balaram. The cuckoos welcomed Krishna and Balaram with a sweet chirping. The peacocks started to welcome Krishna and Balaram by dancing. And the deers welcomed Krishna and Balaram by offering their beautiful, soft glances to them. After playing again and again, the boys became tired and they went to take shelter under big trees which had thick foliage so that no sun would come there. And what happened at that time? Krishna and Balaram lay down next to each other and all the cowboys came to Krishna and Balaram to serve them. They took big leaves of trees and they started to wind Krishna and Balaram, to fan Krishna and Balaram. And some of the boys started to wrestle in front of Krishna and Balaram for their pleasure. And some were dancing, some were singing. And because of this personal service they were doing to Krishna and Balaram, their natural love were growing. Let me get the proper... Those personal services increased their affection for Krishna and Balaram more and more. And here we see, when we can do personal service for Krishna, these affectionate feelings are actually growing. And like we were mentioning yesterday, our opportunity, our chance to have personal dealings with Krishna, even in a conditioned way, is through the deity, through the service of the deity. That's our chance to render personal service to Krishna in our actual state of life. So usually demons will come every day to disturb Krishna and Balaram, or to give pleasure to Krishna and Balaram so that they could have some fight with them. But Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj explained that very often demons came to help the boys to take their meal. How is that? the boys were so absorbed in playing that very often they would forget to eat. They had their lunch bags, but they will just totally forget. So Yogamaya will send those demons to interrupt their play, so that after the demon was gone, they will realize, oh, it's time for eating. Let's now take our lunch or our breakfast. That was another reason why the demon would come. But on that day, no demon came. And the boys felt something is missing in our usual play. And as the boys were thinking like this, suddenly they were on the side of Govardhan Hill, and the wind started to blow. And in the wind was a very special fragrance, the fragrance of the tala fruit. The tala fruit is coming from the tala tree, and the tala tree is from the family of the palm trees. Palm trees, they give dates, coconut, and they give this tala fruit. And this tala fruit is a little bit like a lychee, we call, but it's bigger. It has the color of an aubergine, and it's big like a ball of baseball. And it's very, very sweet and very, very... Yeah, something like this, yeah. And it's very smelly, smell very strong, like the... Lychees? No, not the lychees. There are some these green fruits you have in Braj. I don't remember how they look like apples, but they smell very, very strong. You have one in the house, the old house, just smell from. I don't remember the name now, but this is also the same with these tala fruits. Very, very fragrant. So the boy started to smell. No problem. No problem. The boys started to smell this beautiful, very delicious fragrance, and they immediately, what was their first thought when they smelled this beauty, this delicious fragrance? What did they thought first? We want to offer that to Krishna and Balaram. This is Braj life. In the life in Vrindavan, Krishna is in the center. Krishna and Balaram are in the center, and whatever is nice, everyone just want to offer it to Balaram, to Krishna and Balaram. So the first thought that came to the cowherd boy, we want to offer that to Krishna and Balaram. But they knew there is the ass demon, Denukasura. He is living in this forest, and he is very cruel. He's very, very cruel. So we need, in order that we give the fruits to Krishna and Balaram, we need to finish that demon first. Otherwise we cannot give the fruits. And Radhanath Maharaj gave also a very deep point in this topic. He said that in the same way, we also want to give everything to Krishna and Balaram. This is also the desire of us inside. This is the desire of the soul. But because we have this demon of Denukasura inside of us, we are not able to give all the fruits, all we would like to give to Krishna and Balaram. We have this egoistic ability inside of us that is blocking us. So like the boys, they turn to Krishna and Balaram and they say, you will be able to kill those demons. Let's go and let's kill this demon. But the boys were very intelligent. They came to Krishna and Balaram and they did not say, we want to offer you those fruits. They say, we want those fruits for us. Because they knew if they will say to Krishna, we want to offer you those fruits, Krishna and Balaram might have said, we don't need those fruits. We have our lunchbox, we have rasgullas and puris, and we have everything here. We don't need to go and get those fruits. But the boys knew if they would say, we want those fruits, Krishna and Balaram would say instantly, let's go. And because Krishna, this is a reciprocation of love. The devotees want to serve Krishna and Krishna want to serve the devotees. So sometimes the devotees will trick, they will use, we want for us, but actually they wanted to give it to Krishna. So then the boys wanted to awake the desire for fight in Balaram. So they started to speak about Denukasura. They started to praise the abilities of demoniac abilities of Denukasura. They said, Denukasura is just such an evil demon. He is killing any living entity entering the forest, and he's eating them alive. He's crushing their bones. He's, even birds do not even dare to fly over that forest. This demon is so, so bad demon. And then they address Balaram. Oh, you with long arms, you please go and take care of that demon. So Balaram was, his desire for fighting was awake, and now they were, and Balaram did not yet show his prowess of fighting. So Balaram felt, oh yeah, now it might be a good time to exhibit my strength. So in a dancing way, they approach this Talavan forest where this very heavy demon was. And very often in Krishna Lila, it's colored with beautiful contrast. We have the forest with this evil demon there waiting to kill anyone who enter into the forest, and at the same time Krishna, Balaram and the boys are happily dancing and singing, going into the forest. It's very, very beautiful. So Balaram, when they arrived in the forest, decided to show his strength. And what he did, he came to one big tall tree, and he took the tree and started to shake the tree to make the fruits fall down in the ground. And Radhanath Swami also explained that Balaram is Adi Guru, and sometimes the Guru also will take the disciple and will shake the disciple for his anartha and bad qualities to come on the surface and be able to be thrown out. And all the cowboys started also to help Balaram. They took stones that were joined with ropes, and they all started to try to make those tala fruits fall down. But because Balaram was so strong, he was shaking so strong the trees that the whole earth started to tremble. And this awake Denukasura. Denukasura was taking a midday nap. With a little snooze, and suddenly the earth started to tremble, and Denukasura was awakened, and he thought, who dares to come in my forest? So he became very, very furious, and with his hoofs he just started to grate the earth, or to scratch the earth, and a lot of dust came up in the sky and started to cover the sky, and the whole atmosphere became grayish like this. And then he ran in direction of the boys with big anger, and he ran. The first he saw was Balaram, and he ran toward Balaram, came front of Balaram, turned around, and with his back hoof started to kick on the chest of Balaram. Very, very heavy kick. This demon was big, not like the small ass, you know, it was big ass. And then the demon turned back to see what had happened to Balaram. And Balaram was smiling and did not have any affection. Was not affected at all by what the demon did. Oh, that was too much for the ego of Denukasura. Just ran around and ran around and was braying very loud, very terrible sound, and came back to Balaram and came doo, 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 with the back hooves. And Balaram took his back hooves and started to whirl him around and throw him in a very, very far distance. And Balaram fell on the ground and fell actually on his neck and was hurt very badly and was actually unconscious for some time. And then he came back and he was so furious. Those small boys, how can they be so strong? And then Balaram, Denukasura thought, yeah, this white boy, he's a little tough. Let me try another of those boys. Let me try another one. So Denukasura came to Shridam. But these are descriptions from Garga Samhita. This very, very special description of the fight. Shridam, a friend of Krishna, smashed him on the head with his coward stick. And then, bewildered by the strength of the boy, Denukasura remained on the ground. Then Subal came and punched him on the face. Shtoka Krishna came and took his rope and whirled it around and started to whip the demon. Then Arjuna and Hamsu came. They took Dhenukasura and threw him on the ground. Then Vishal and Rishabha ran to him and kicked him on the head. Dhenukasura was getting a heavy time. Tejasvi, another boy, jumped on the back of the demon and started to strangle him. Devaprastha came over and started to slap Dhenukasura on the face. And there was a small boy, a small cowboy boy. He was smaller than all others. And he had a ball for playing with him. And he was seeing all the other cowboy boys fighting with this demon. And he thought, I should try to help them. But he did not know how to do so. He just took his ball and threw the ball to Dhenukasura. Wow! Dhenukasura thought, those boys are really tough. Dhenukasura stood up again and thought, let me try this one with the black skin. So Dhenukasura came to Krishna and tried to kick Krishna. And Krishna took Dhenukasura and threw him very, very far distance. And Dhenukasura fell on Govardhan Hill. And just to show you how the pastimes of Lord Krishna are amazing, Garga Muni explained that Dhenukasura then took Govardhan Hill and threw Govardhan Hill at Krishna. And Krishna took back Govardhan Hill and threw it back at Dhenukasura. And then Dhenukasura let it Govardhan Hill where it was and came back running toward the boys. And then he thought, let me try again this boy with the white skin. And this time, Balaram took him with the front leg, not with the rear leg, the front. And he started to whirl him around. But not just like this, but he took him like this and he just started to turn. And he was turning so fast that Dhenukasura left his body due to the centrifugal force. Radhanath Swami said, Dhenukasura died out of dizziness. Of turning so fast. But Krishna was, Balaram was so kind that he took the front legs for a special meaning. He took the front legs so that Dhenukasura could have his darshan as he would leave the body. Because he was holding like this, that means Dhenukasura was just having the darshan of Balaram as he was turning, and he left his body having the darshan of Lord Balaram. Then all the associates of Dhenukasura had many other as demons, they all came and they all were very eager to follow in the footsteps of their master, Dhenukasura. So they all started to attack the boys, and then the boys, one after another, they were throwing all those as demons, and they were all falling on the top of trees. And some of those demons had different colors. And Srila Prabhupada said that it made all those demons on the top of the tree made a very beautiful panoramic scene. And some of the trees were falling down on other trees, and they would fall like dominoes into the forest. Garga Samhita writes a very amazing detail what happened after it. The demigods show a flower on Balaram and the boys for what they did. And Dhenukasura left his body and manifested a splendid and handsome dark form wearing a yellow garment and decorated with the forest flower garland. So the body of Dhenukasura left his body and assumed this beautiful form. Then a chariot filled with 100,000 of the Lord's associates, decorated with 1,000 flags, rumbling with 1,000 of wheels, pulled by 10,000 horses, glorious with 100,000 chamaras, yellow, stunned with many jewels, 12 kilometers long, beautiful, traveling as fast as the mind and decorated with many bells and tinkling ornaments, suddenly appeared. What a chariot! Just suddenly appeared. Then the demon circumambulated Krishna and Balaram, and then, finishing the cycle of the direction with light, he ascended the chariot and went to Goloka, far beyond the material realm. That's a beautiful description from Gargasamhita. All the boys started to scream to Krishna and Balaram, "Well done, well done, well done!" But some scriptures say that the boys did not even eat the fruits because they had been contaminated by the blood of the demon. And they were just satisfied actually by just smelling the smell of the tala fruit. But some other scriptures said that they also ate some of the fruits, but they chose those who were not contaminated by the blood of the demon. So then the boys came back in Brajbhumi. It was by now the time to come back in their houses. And when they came, they arrived back to Braj. Do you know who was waiting for them? The old Brajbhumi, the old inhabitant of Vrindavan, had spent the longest of their day in separation with Krishna. And they were just looking all the time in the direction of the forest. When is Krishna Balaram coming back? And out in those inhabitants of Vrindavans were the gopis. And when the gopis saw Krishna coming, they just could not look anywhere else. Their eyes were just stunned on the form of Krishna and Balaram. And they were trying to take them away, but they were not able. Here is a quotation from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. "Becoming independent and jealous of the ears that were hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, and the nostril who was smelling the fragrance of Krishna, the eyes gave up the shelter of the gopi and went to Krishna by themselves." That means the gopis did not want to turn their glance away, but the eyes became jealous of the ears who could hear the sound of the flute and the nose who could smell, and they neglected the orders of the gopi to look somewhere else, and by force the eyes went to see Krishna. Wow! When the gopis saw Krishna and Krishna responded by sending his glance to them, they became very shy. They smiled and covered their mouths with their left hand and pulled their hands by pulling their veil over their eyes. Krishna took their glances as an offering of love in the temple of his heart. So here ends the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pastime. I maybe just end a few notes connected to this anatta of mother of ignorance, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur give the blessings that actually by meditating, by hearing and by speaking about those pastimes of killing demons, that they will help us to get the strength to pray for the removal of those anatta. He's giving this benediction. Obviously, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is what will work, but those pastimes are specifically meant and helpful for us to sadhakas, to get rid of those anattas. So Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, from whom I have a lot of notes because he also gave this seminar in the past, is explaining that to counteract ignorance, there is a special activity in Krishna consciousness that we should do. What is in the opposite side of ignorance? What is the, I don't know how we say the proper English word, not the paradoxical, but the opposite of ignorance, knowledge. Very good. So what was the program for Srila Prabhupada, for all of us, to cultivate knowledge? What was his recommendation or his order for us?
He said we should read his books.
We should read his books and very often Prabhupada speak of reading 1 hour a day, 16 rounds and 1 hour a day reading. And very often when I give my seminar, I ask the devotees, how many of you are reading 1 hour a day? And we can see that many of us do not take this so serious. We know we should read, but we maybe read for half an hour, or maybe 15 minutes, or maybe in the evening when we are very tired. But we, obviously we have Bhagavatam lecture, which is also good input. But this reading or this absorption of our consciousness in topics about Krishna, in philosophy or pastimes of Krishna, is actually very, very important for us to destroy this ignorance. And we can see when sometimes we have periods when we get 1 hour reading, study reading, where we are not interrupted, where we can do that, we can see how it's that supporting our chanting, and how is that actually taking away a good part of this ignorance. It's actually very, very good point. And then Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj quote a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that I really should learn by heart, or should know by heart from now, but I'm not so good with that. That's a verse that says that in order to be able to absorb knowledge inside of us, we need actually to serve the devotees. The verse actually said that by Vaishnava Seva, we get taste to receive spiritual knowledge. And this is also another interesting point. We might be reading on our own, we might be trying to develop this knowledge, but if we don't take care that we serve the Vaishnavas around us nicely, we will not get this ability of absorption of this knowledge, or this taste to absorb this spiritual knowledge. Balaram is actually the presiding deity of the Chit Shakti, or the knowledge Shakti. So therefore, is also very, very good to destroy this ignorant. And Guru is the recipient of this Shakti for us, because he is close to us. We often hear that the Guru is cutting the nut of our material attachment in this world with the sword of knowledge. That's Denukasura is also compared to the lack of discrimination between external aspect and the essence of Krishna consciousness. The also interesting point that also comes in the topic of the Putana demon. Srila Prabhupada writes, one who is preaching but do not get to the essence of the scriptures, his preaching is like the bray of the ass. Again, we are connected with Denukasura. And it's very important, because in the scriptures, they are so vast, they are so big, that we can actually very often lose ourselves into many small details and not be able to get the essence. And Prabhupada writes in this quote that if one is actually preaching about those external things of Krishna consciousness, but neglect the essence of Krishna consciousness, then his preaching is like the bray of an ass. And we all have heard that the real essence of devotion, the real essence of the Shastra, is that we develop this loving attitude, that everything is based on the attitude. Whatever we do is connected with this loving attitude to Krishna. This is the root, this is the essence, pleasing Krishna, remembering Krishna. Okay, so I think I will stop here. Yeah, we went for longer than what we expected, but I think we were in the flow. That's good to do until now. I don't know if you have any commentaries, any additions.
Question.
Yeah.
My understanding so far has been that the demons that have been killed by Krishna, they attained as a benediction. Being by Krishna, liberation. And this is the first time that I've you're actually in this promoted to Goloka Vrindavan. And even though he had not been engaged in devotional activities, he just had the Goloka being
There are different, for example, Putana got the position of a mother also in the spiritual world. There is this amazing verse quoted by Pundarik Vidyanidhi or by Uddhava in Srimad Bhagavatam when he says, how merciful is my Lord that he gave the position of a mother in the spiritual world to this she-demon who came to poison him. So Putana is an example of a demon who got... that was not directly... How was it? I think it was Goloka Vrindavan, but her position toward Krishna had still some tinge of Aishwarya that was not really the same like the mother who will be really on the Madhurya aspect. Agasura also, Agasura got Sarupya Mukti. Did not merge into Krishna. Actually, he first merged into Krishna when Agasura left his body, was in the air for some time, and then he merged into the body of Krishna, and then from there he got Sarupya Mukti. Because he was very envious, but he got purified by the voice entering his body. And the voice was so happy, and something changed in him. Now, to really give a proper answer to your question, it depends on Shastras. Like, there is, I think, Pralamba Sura, we get three different Shastras who give three different explanations where they go. One Shastra say he went to the kingdom of Yamaraj, another Shastra said he got impersonal liberation, and one Shastra said he went back to Godhead. So it's sometimes the Shastras are a little bit giving different conclusions on those. So sometimes it might be a little bit challenging for our mind. How can it be that Shastras said different information that seemed to be contradictory or not fitting? But ultimately everything is interconnected, and everything is... On the absolute platform, there is no contradiction. Everything fits. Everything is all right. But there is no specific version that Dhenukasura did any pious activities or any devotion so that he could go to Goloka Vrindavan. Or this I never heard. When I was doing this research work, I sometimes had to choose between the different version that the Shastra will give, and so that's best I can answer. Good, so I think we will stop here. I am very happy that I could come and do service, a little service here. Very happy that I could have this meeting with you, Chakravarti. It was giving me a lot of strength and a lot of good hopes and vision, and also very nice for both of you to be here, and Lucy, who is helping very nicely. It's not the number of the people that is important, but the quality of the persons that is important. So I'm very happy that I could be a part of and do a little service here, and please forgive if I spoke anything that was not proper or agitating your heart or whatever, and I hope to visit you again in the future. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki jai. Shri Baladev ki jai. Bolo Daoji Maharaj ki jai.